Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long and Mike Dettillier, taking until 8 p.m. this evening. Happy to welcome in now Chrissy Smith, podcaster and writer for The Know. Chrissy, how you doing after all this snowpocalypse?
I'm doing great. I miss watching the Pelicans play basketball, though, but I'm doing well overall. Thanks for having me.
Chrissy, I know you're on the North Shore, so how much snow you got up there?
So we got about 6.5 inches of snow. And, I mean, as you know, the schools are closed down. My kids are absolutely in heaven with it. But it was a lot. It was really amazing to see.
Well, the kids are happy. How were you with it? Because, you know, you got to take care of it now a little bit more. And you sort of stranded in. But, yeah, it was just a great sight to see when it came down and everything. But, yeah. We deal with the aftermath afterwards and having the grandkids here for a couple of days. So I understand that part of it also. Last time we talked, Chrissy, you brought up about Trey Murphy. And I think it was a great point about that he was on the verge of being a star player in the NBA. And we're seeing that happen right in front of our very eyes. We wish we would see Zion play more because we see what type of impact he has when he's out there. But, I mean, he reminds me of a sports car I had years ago. It spent more time in a shop than it did on the highway. But I think Trey Murphy has really been the story this season. You're seeing him emerge as a, I guess the best term, near star in the NBA today.
Mm-hmm. He is really turning into an all-star caliber player. I mean, he's putting up huge numbers. He's what I think we thought that he could be, and he's doing it game after game. He's becoming one of those guys that's very difficult to guard. He's knocking down shots like we always knew that he could do, but he's really added this other layer to his game of being able to drive in and score effectively that way. He's obviously gotten stronger. So he's definitely a huge bright spot to see and someone that we have for a while under contract with the team.
No problem. One of the things, you being a former college basketball player yourself, is that when you get hot sort of on a streak now, you've won four straight, okay, you understood why they canceled the game, but like, I want to get out there and play, because I gather the thing about you can, you know, sort of carry things over because of confidence, but you want to get out there to play. Now you're playing Memphis. And they went through a similar situation to the Pelicans a year ago. A lot of injuries, star player out, you know, with Morant went out for a long period of the season. They retooled. And I really think that the Pelicans would like to play like the Grizzlies. They fast pace, transition is real quick up the court. They throw up a lot of threes. And so I think you're sort of going up against a team Friday that is what you would like to be like if you were looking in the mirror.
True. That's a really good point. That is what they would like to look like. when you do keep having so many injuries, even though they're on a winning streak right now, you know, they're still missing two of their top players with Brandon Ingram and Herb Jones. But in terms of just a playing standpoint, yeah, you want to just get out there and get on the court and not lose that rhythm at all. I mean, not only is Trey Murphy on a hot streak right now, but so is CJ McCollum. I mean, he's someone that, you know, was thinking, great, now we've had several days in between and we're going to play this fast tempo team. And they want to obviously keep the winning streak going. But it is a little hiccup by having the game postponed because of the weather that we had here against the Bucks.
Looking at this matchup against the Grizzlies tomorrow, Rod Walker from NOLA.com posted this. Pelicans and Grizzlies have played 20 times since Zion Williamson and Ja Morant were selected in the first and second round in the 2019 draft. First and second, sorry, in the 2019 draft. Zion and Ja have played both times, eight times. Ja has played and Zion did in eight times. Zion's played and Ja did in two times, and neither's played two times. And we know tomorrow night, no Zion Williamson, who will be out due to conditioning after coming back from an illness. It's really a head-scratcher with Zion Williamson. We've talked about the talent there, but for whatever reason it is, the dude just cannot stay on the court for this team.
I know, and it's frustrating. I'm sure he's frustrated. The fans are frustrated because, I mean, look, even though he hasn't played in that many games this year, Zion's averaging 20 points per game, 5 rebounds a game, 5 assists a game. So, I mean, these are the kind of numbers that if we could have consistently would tremendously help out the team, but it's just that the injury is a problem. And then it is frustrating when he looks like he's in great shape right now. He's very explosive. He's definitely trimmed down. But then he apparently gets sick and then isn't playing tomorrow after this long break because of the conditioning. It's sort of like, you know, is that really what's going on? Because it is a head scratcher, like right. You said, like you would think he could. So it's tough.
Chrissy, I think one of the things, I don't care what business you're in, you're always looking for somebody that can put the jumper cables on the battery. And for me, for the Pelicans, it's Jose Alvarado. Because they're a different team energy-wise when he's on the court and he's not on the court. And that, to me, means a lot if in any kind of business you have someone that they play so damn hard and they give you everything they got, and they sort of put pressure on you to do the same thing. But he brings so much energy, and he's a talented guy. I think sometimes it gets overlooked of that he is a really talented NBA player, but it's his energy and what he brings to the table. And to get everybody else to play hard, too, that's special in any business, but especially in pro sports.
It is, and it does kind of go back to his background a little bit in that he's a scrappy guy. He wasn't someone that, you know, everyone assumed like, oh, this is a future NBA player. You know, he had to really work hard to get where he's at. And so when he's out there, you can tell he's appreciating every second that he's on that court, and he doesn't take it at all for granted. Not saying that, you know, anybody else is on the team, but his energy is different out there. And so it's so important that he is getting minutes, that he's back healthy and being out there. And, I mean, as you can see, he's obviously helping things with the Pelicans having won 5 of their last 6 and the one loss coming against the Celtics by 1 point. So he's definitely helping the team improve.
Chrissy, the NBA trade deadline just around the corner, February 6th. You anticipating some moves from the Pelicans? I think a lot of folks expect some of the bigger names, like maybe a Brandon Ingram, even a CJ McCollum, to maybe be dealt at the deadline.
Yeah, the Brandon Ingram situation to me is the most interesting. He got hurt in early December, and as of today, they still had no update on where he was at, and he hasn't been cleared for contact practice. So it's a little like, you know, is this because maybe he doesn't want to get re-injured before the trade deadline? Is there something working there? I think that if they were going to probably move anyone, it probably would be Ingram. CJ McCollum, I don't see as much, only because this really has become home for him. He's been lighting it up lately. So I think that the Ingram situation probably has the most possibility, but you just never know going into these kind of trade deadlines with these professional sports.
Definitely appreciate the time, Chrissy. Hopefully the Pels can make it 5 straight tomorrow night in Memphis. We'll be looking forward to that action, and definitely appreciate your time, and stay sane with the kiddies home from school.
Yeah, I'll do my best. I'll do all I can. Thanks so much, y'all.
That was Chrissy Smith, podcaster and writer for The Know. You can follow her at Sports Chris, C-R-I-S-S, on X to get more info on the Pels and all things sports that she's covering. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. Be right back after this with more on WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back here on Sports Talk, and man, oh man, are sports like with a male version of a soap opera. Today in the NFL, getting some news about Liam Cohen. He was targeted by the Jaguars for their head coach opening position. Interview was set to interview on Wednesday, but then withdrew his name. Then the Bucs offered him an extension to become one of the highest paid coordinators in the league. After that, the Jaguars kind of bugged out and fired Trent Baalke, their GM. Then they reached back out to Cohen, asking if he'd reconsider. Cohen hadn't signed his deal with the Bucs, yet he started engaging with the Jaguars again. Now, the Bucs couldn't get in touch with him. A really odd situation, Mike, and it's like as the world turns going on right now with Liam Cohen.
Yeah, if I get to kind of handpick maybe the guy that I could work with. I mean, everybody, you think about it, if you can kind of handpick people that would work hand in hand with you, wouldn't you want that?
Right.
Okay, in any type of job. Liam Cohen did not want to work with Trent Baalke. I mean, that was obvious. But I don't know too many people who does. Doug Peterson thought he could make it work, but he found out what everybody else found out. Doesn't work that way. I really think now that Baalke is out of the picture, that it will be Liam Cohen. And I got a lot of respect for him. I've known him when he was a college coach. And so I know a little bit of him. He's got a real fertile mind. He's a young coach. And in essence, he is following almost in the same footprints of Dave Canales.
Right.
Who also, really young coach, goes to Tampa, develops Baker Mayfield, and then moves on to become a head coach with the Carolina Panthers. And now it looks as though Leon Cohen, unless some another snag gets caught up, and listen, you never know with the Khan family.
Sure.
Believe me. Man, the stories there are unbelievable about how they run the Jaguars, that looks as though Leon Cohen's going to get that job as the head coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars. The one thing that really makes it appealing is that you do have what you think is the potential of a standout quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, who's had the ups and downs that usually you see with a young quarterback. And he did have an injury last year, but you do have that kind of in your pocket and also a lot of cap money to spend on free agent players. And again, another real early round pick for the Jaguars. So, of all the places other than Chicago, because of the fact that you have a young quarterback, you got money, you have some pieces here and there on defense, that would be the number two spot for me. But I do have to work for the cons. That's the real negative of it because, man, it's you don't know who's running the show there. Is it the older Mr. Khan or is it the son running the team? And I've heard from different people, from day to day, it sort of changes.
Mike, now on the line, we've got Sean Merriman, former All-Pro linebacker, owner of Lights Out Extreme Fighting. Sean's here courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for the AFC-NFC title game lines and props, Super Bowl futures, and a look-ahead lines for all four potential Super Bowl matchups. Sean, how you been, man? How things going for you?
Going well. You know, just wrapping up this football season on Penn State with everybody else. So,
Sean, you a former Buffalo Bill. Man, tell us about that fan base. And here you are, one win away from going to a Super Bowl. You haven't won in the Super Bowl, but, man, you were there. That fan base is unbelievable how they support their football team.
You know, man, it's so hard to put into words because I knew about their fan base going out there. But once you live in a city, you play on a team, you really get the full scope on how important the team is to them, and it's nothing like it. I almost felt that, you know, you had second or third cousins in the city. That's how close they felt, like a family. And for me personally, selfishly, there'll be nothing better because I know how the city value this team out there and how they look at the players for them to go out and win a Super Bowl, man. And it'll be a special time in Buffalo if that happens.
When you look,
one of the things in watching the playoffs this past weekend, one guy reminded me a lot of you when you played, and that's Will Anderson Jr. with the Houston Texans. Okay, man, he has got a motor that never quits. He is a speed player, but he turns speed into power, and he's relentless. Every play, he's involved some kind of way, either as putting pressure on the quarterback or making a play against the run. In so many ways, Will Anderson Jr. reminds me of you when you played with the Chargers and the Bills.
You know, it's funny you said that. There was a writer for the University of Maryland football team. He ended up going to Alabama. Matt Zentz. He called me out the blue. He said, "Sean, you got a second?" I said, "Yeah." He called me. He said, "Hey, we got this kid down here named Will Anderson. He's a little light. I think he's about 220 pounds or something like that at the time. He's a little light, but he reminds me a whole lot of you, dude." So I watched him from his freshman year and watched him all the way through college and watched what he's doing in the pros now. One of these years, he'll be up for Defensive Player of the Year because you're right. He has a relentless motor. He has all the athletic ability in the world, and the dude is explosive. He's just always around the football. He can't be blocked. Last thing you want to do is leave him one-on-one with the running back or a tight end or anything like that. It's always big or small with him. So I'm happy because I'm a fan of the game right now, right? You know, you move away from the game and you start looking at how these next up-and-coming superstars pan out.
Looking at this Kansas City Chiefs team, obviously you've got – one of, if not the best player in football, and Patrick Mahomes over there. But, you know, everybody's been complaining a ton about the help they get constantly from the referees, and it's really eye-popping when you look at the numbers. And I'm just curious for you, as a former guy that's been in the division as well, what you think of all the favor, I guess you could say, that the Kansas City Chiefs seems to have bestowed upon them.
You know, as a player, you always talk about the locker room. You want to take the game out of the ref's hands, win or lose. You want to take the game where the refs aren't deciding a game. But it's just getting so obvious, man. It's so hard to defend what's going on. Even to the point with, you know, Troy Aikman, you know, former quarterback, is sitting there saying, hey, this is getting out of hand. And you know they don't have broadcasters, you know, pointing the fingers too much at the refs. But it's hard to turn the other cheek when these are games that are leading to scoring drives and, you know, 15-yard penalties that reset downs. And then I'm going in and punching the ball in. And I'm not really too concerned. The refs are going to call whatever they're going to call. I'm just more concerned at the constant, really, in a sense, the complaining of Patrick Mahomes in certain these situations. I mean, there was, you know, three times during the game, and one in particular, where he's running out to the sideline. I don't know if you guys remember seeing this, but he was 2 feet. He stopped 2 feet in bounds, and he got pushed out, and he's looking around behind him for a flag. I'm like, man, you stopped. A defensive player's job is to get you out of bounds or get you on the ground by any means necessary. It's football. And so Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, is just too great to be looked at that way. He's too great to be labeled that way. And I'm afraid that it's heading in that direction where the guys is just like, man, come on, stop crying. Stop complaining. Get back to playing football. And, you know, and that takes away from his greatness, right? Because instead of you talking about how great he is, which he is, you're starting to talk about him complaining and how much the refs are helping him. And now he's pointing fingers and looking for flags. You don't want that cloud. You don't want that stamp going on in your career. You want to be a clear-cut favorite as the best quarterback that ever did. He has a chance to. I mean, they win the Super Bowl as a three-peat. He has a chance to be called the greatest of all time if he keeps up on this road.
Sean, one of the things in watching the Eagles, and I love to watch offensive line play, and man, they built really to run the football. But you got a guy in a league now that has turned so much toward the pitch and catch game and built around the quarterback. You got a star running back in Saquon Barkley. My thing is, how the hell does the Giants decide to let him loose and you get your division rival to sign him? My thing is, you've seen a lot of great running backs through your time playing and then afterwards. Saquon Barkley this year, I mean, that's as good as you can find, because really he didn't play in that last game at all, and he could have literally broken Eric Dickerson's rushing record. He had one more game than Eric did, but, man, Saquon, to me, he's the MVP of the NFL. When you look at it, of what he's been able to do on a football team that at times has struggled throwing the football consistently, Saquon has been the equalizer to everybody out there.
You know what I love about this the most is that I believe that the front office and these teams are going to look at the running back position differently, and it's been so devalued for the last several years. But we're seeing these teams late in the season especially run the football well, and that's what got them there. And so, you know, I think it's going to have a chance to reset the market where these guys' value is going to go back up again. You look at a guy like Derrick Henry, I think, who's making $9 or $10 million this year, but he's barely been a backbone of that offense. And I'm not taking anything away from Lamar Jackson by any means. But that running game that the Ravens had opened up everything else, even for Lamar to throw the ball down the field and Andrews and everyone else. So I think after the season, I think teams are going to reevaluate the situation. We're going to see more running backs being taken early in the first round, because a good running back, man, opens up so many different opportunities in the passing game and that RPO action by the quarterback. And I think they really got a chance to reset the market at this point.
One of the things, Sean, is I don't know how much you watch Abdul Carter with Penn State this year, but in watching him, man, his ability as a pass rush defensive end or stand-up outside linebacker is really telling. I think he's got a chance to be the next sort of Will Anderson-type player for the NFL. I don't know how much you've watched of Abdul Carter, but if you have, kind of give an opinion on what Carter is as a football player at Penn State and what he could be in the NFL.
Yeah, man. We call that Stick City, and one of my mentors, LeVar Arrington, who really took me under his wing, when I came into, you know, high school for one and college and mentored me. So I know all about, you know, Carter and what he's been able to do there in Stick City, more importantly. Again, these guys, these type of guys don't, they're very rare, because you put them on the field, even as a rookie, they're going to do a lot of damage because they're so explosive. He's so relentless. You can line him up on both sides of the football. You can line him up, bring him down the center and be gaps. You can do so many things with him because he's so versatile that anybody that gets him, I hope they just take the chains off and let him just run, wreak havoc on a lot of these offenses. But yeah, I think he's the next up. You're right. He's the next up. And they had guys, you know, Chop Robinson came out of this. I mean, they've gotten some guys over the last couple of years that's really done extremely well at the NFL level.
Looking back at that Eagles matchup against, you know, the Washington Commanders coming up, what have you seen and thought of, you know, Jaden Daniels' performance so far? Obviously, the rookies had a heck of a season, looking calm and cool at that quarterback position like no other we've seen for a rookie. But can they punch their ticket to the Super Bowl, or is it going to be too much Philly in that matchup, you think, to handle?
You know, I think that most people, whether they want to publicly admit it or not, no one had the Commanders beating the Lions,
right,
unless you're a hardcore Commanders fan. But they shocked a lot of people. They, you know, and more importantly, Jaden Daniels is playing at a level that we haven't seen from a rookie in a long time, if ever. And I was trying to look back at the last rookie that I at least played against or played with or whatever, and maybe Andrew Luck, you know, guy that came in his rookie year and looked like he belonged. He didn't look like he was too flustered by anything and held his composure under pressure. But there's been nothing like Jaden Daniels. This guy, he doesn't flinch. You don't see him being in a situation where the moment is ever too big for him. He's been hit, you know, that we were always told as defenders when a rookie quarterback, just hit him enough, he'll make some mistakes. That's not the case with him. We've seen him bleed in the face and laughing on the sidelines about it, and third and long situations, kind of just relaxed and calm, cool, collected. We haven't seen anything like this. But when you're talking about playing as Eagles, I think the nemesis going for Jaden Daniels is going to be Jalen Carter, and being able to step up into that pocket, which he will not be able to do. So I think the Commanders, if they got a real shot, for one, they got to get Austin Ekeler out of that backfield, you know, receiving the ball and catching the ball out of the backfield. Also, Jaden Daniels got to get on the edge a little bit more, throw in the run, create plays with his legs, because I don't see him having the capabilities of just stepping up into that pocket consistently, delivering the ball down the field. Jalen Carter is also, he's just playing at a very high level right now.
Sean, you were one of the first guys that I can remember, and I hear about it all the time now from defensive ends or outside linebackers, even defensive tackles, of working with somebody either in MMA, boxing, or whatever, because of the ability to use their hands. And you were one of the first guys that I can remember that worked in the offseason with people on that ability to use his hands to get off blocks or to get away from bigger linemen. And that has become the norm now for college players to work with people in that particular industry to get them, because there is a correlation there between the quick hands and playing in the NFL on defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it was a game changer for me because after my rookie year, I went back and I watched the film, and I wasn't that great use of my hands. I wasn't very active with my hands. I was strictly explosion off the line of scrimmage, takeoff, and bull rush if I had to. And I went back during the offseason, started working with some of these big MMA guys, Randy Couture being one, and I got very active and violent. That's the key word of pass rush. You got to be violent with your hands and active. And it really did. It transcended my game, and it took me to another level, which is why I believe that I came out that second year late at the NFL in sacks. And now, you know, these guys are incorporating. Well, we've all seen films of Aaron Donald, his hand combat drills during the offseason. All these things will really take a pass rusher to the next level. So I'm glad to see a lot of these guys incorporate that in their game.
It's a good transition, you know, talking about MMA and martial arts. I know you got Lights Out Extreme Fighting coming out pretty soon. Number 22 in the mix coming up in February. That's right.
Yeah, man, we got a huge card. In fact, you know, I just looked at the roster and what we've done over this past year. We sent 7 guys to the UFC, which is a very big deal for us because that's why I got in this sport. I wanted to, you know, kind of be that feeder league to let everybody know we got the next best up-and-coming talent that's in the sport. And it's been fun for me to watch this grow and the viewership and the distribution we have and selling out. I mean, it's been great. Also, too, I want to say, you know, my network, Lighthouse Sports TV, we got the East-West Shrine Bowl practices this weekend. They'll be live on Lighthouse Sports TV exclusively. And for me, these type of things, opportunities, if you guys don't have Lighthouse Sports TV, make sure you download it. It's on every smart TV device out there, iOS and Android. But we got some big confirmed names. It's going to be at practice this weekend. And I can't wait to see it, man. And it's their 100th annual. And if for us to have the practice rights, it's been a really big deal for us.
Hope to see you come Super Bowl time. Are you going to be around Radio Row, Sean?
Yes, sir. I'll be about trotting around, and I'm sure you won't be able to miss me. So I'll be around.
Always appreciate the time. Always appreciate your time. Thanks so much, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
That's Sean Merriman, former All-Pro linebacker, owner of Lights Out Extreme Fighting. Who's here courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for the AFC-NFC title line, games and props, Super Bowl futures, and also look ahead for all the lines for all four potential Super Bowl matchups. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll get into some of your calls here on WWL. You know the numbers. You know how to use it. Give us a call, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Going to go check in with Holly. Hollywood in Thibodeau. Hollywood, how'd you make out during the snowpocalypse?
Hey, Steve. Hey, Mike. How y'all making out?
Doing good.
All right, Hollywood. Hey, Hollywood, when's the last time you could put Grand Isle and Fouchon and snow together?
Well, I'm 65 years old, and I've never seen that much snow before. Huh?
Yeah.
Don't come back?
No, same here.
Yeah. And I hope I never see another snowstorm as long as I live. You know?
I'm with you, man. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm done with it.
This snowstorm holds you captive. You can't do nothing. Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, at least with the hurricane, you can venture out after the storm passed. With this snowstorm, you can't even get out on the roads, you know. So that's how bad it was. It was just bad. But it was nice, you know. Hey, Mike.
Yeah,
Who you think the next Saint head coach is going to be, and what's taking so long?
Well, I think part of the deal was, I think the weather got involved with it. But the one thing in seeing how Mickey Loomis has done this in the past, and he's did it before he hired Sean Payton, and did the same thing with Dennis Allen, he just took his time about hiring that coach. I think what was unexpected, Hollywood, was Detroit got kind of bumped out of the playoffs, and Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn all of a sudden became available. That you didn't think maybe would happen, but you had to kind of plan. And I really, to be honest with you, I think Ben Johnson had that set up before the even game was played. He had it set up that he was headed to Chicago, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised the same sort of situation with Aaron Glenn. So I think you got to pivot at this point. And I think Mike McCarthy becomes the guy. He brings experience. He's done well with the quarterbacks, whoever he's worked with. Been there, done that. And if you look and you put the resumes in the NFL, Sean Payton and Mike McCarthy, and don't put the names at the top. They're almost identical. But, you know, Mike didn't have any kind of power in Dallas at all. That's all on Jerry. Jerry made every decision with the Cowboys, from coaching to players, all of it. So I think it's Mike McCarthy right now, and I think in the two spot would probably be Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator with the Buffalo Bills. And I think Joe's done a great job. We see his maturation as a coach. And I think when he first came into the league, he didn't think the NFL was going to be a big difference from college. And yet it was. We even heard Mark Schlereth talk about him sitting down with him and telling him the big differences in the National Football League in comparison to college, where there's really no strong side, weak side. And the hash mark change is big. We've talked about this for the last week or so. Mark brought up the exact same thing. So, you know, I know you can't technically sign Joe Brady till, you know, Buffalo Bills season's over with, but there's always a nod, wink, wink. It ain't Joe Brady cutting these deals. Same thing with Mike McCarthy. It's their agent or their lawyer doing it. So a lot of people don't understand that. They think it's a one-on-one with the coach himself. All of this is handled by their lawyers and agents. So to ask me right now, I'd say Mike McCarthy would be the favorite to be the head coaching, new head coach of the Saints.
Mike, you think there's any credence to, like, Alvin Kamara taking his opinions to, you know, social media, saying that he would vote for Rizzi as the head coach?
Listen, I think Alvin doesn't say a lot about that sort of thing. That,
right.
That I took as a big comment for Alvin to come out, but they had a really good working relationship. And, Steve, I think any time you've worked with somebody and you believe in them, you can say it privately, and I'm sure Alvin has, privately, to Mickey Loomis and to whoever else is involved with this. But to do it publicly, that's a different story now. You're telling the world, that's who I want. And I give Alvin a lot of credit for doing that, to make it known that that's who he would like. A lot of players today, they're not going to do that. Alvin kind of stuck his neck out and said, hey, that's the guy I want. So everybody's going to have a different opinion on that. But I respect what Alvin Kamara did for a guy that he respects greatly in Darren Rizzi.
Heading to break. We'll be right back with more Sports Talk. Stay tuned after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We're talking about the head coaching search for the Saints. Well, looks like the Dallas Cowboys might have found their guy. The move expected to be completed tomorrow, per reports of Cowboys reporter Clarence Hill of the Dallas media there, saying that the Cowboys, Mike, are going with Brian Schottenheimer?
Steve, I did a show this morning. You think they got angst about the head coaching spot here in New Orleans? Man, you ought to hear it in Dallas. I mean,
kind of a head-scratcher.
It is, but it would be the type of pick that I would have expected with Jerry Jones.
I got you.
Because when the Deion stuff came out, listen, Coach Prime, and you know he's done a great job in what he did for Jackson State and the SWAC, and then he goes to Colorado, and in quick fashion turns those programs around very fast. But, man, it would have surprised me, because I've heard Coach Prime talk about that he didn't want to coach in the NFL. It wasn't something that was on his list to do. I think he feels as though he can relate better to the college player than the NFL player today. But I think Jerry loved the publicity that he was talking to Deion about it. Now he swings back and brings in a guy that's been on the staff for a long time, and Brian Schottenheimer, who's been involved in the offensive scheme with Mike McCarthy there and even before. And I knew his dad, Marty, who was a great NFL coach with the Browns, Kansas City Chiefs, and then later with the San Diego Chargers. He just couldn't win the big game. He got him into the playoffs virtually every year, but his teams didn't play well when the spotlight shone the most. And now looks as though Brian is going to be the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And it is going to be bedlam out there in Dallas. But talk, this is manna from heaven for talk show people in Dallas to have Brian Schottenheimer brought in, where they're going to talk about this for the next 6 months constantly.
Folks, keep it locked right here. More Sports Talk after news.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.